I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4 today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So a lot going on today with middle of July, hot and steamy out there. People on vacations, cooking out, playing softball. Some people just staying in because of the pandemic. I understand that. And I carry my mask with me. I put it on, wear it when I have to. And I don't do a lot of hugging and handshaking, amen? So stay safe. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start there with verse 1. And this chapter is the last chapter in the book of 2 Timothy. And it has allowed us to prepare to point today 23 lessons. And so we'll be winding 2 Timothy up pretty quick here. And he says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now thank you for the opening prayer, which I'm going to claim that. And for the blessing on the word of God this morning. But when he says, I charge thee therefore, let me explain that briefly. The word therefore is in reference to everything he just said. And I'm not going to go back and get all that out. But the context, it's in reference to previous context and instruction or whatever the scripture had said up to this point. But the word charge, I charge thee. The word charge is an interesting word in the English language. Third person present, you might say, charges, past tense, charged. Then they've got that fancy one, past participle, charged, and present participle, charging. Say, what's all that mean? It's just the breakdown of a word in the English language, and this word yields itself to those sort of things. And we know the word with different definitions, and I'll give you the proper definition for the context it's found in, but we think of the word charge. I'm going to charge another $200 on my credit card. Well, that's one way to use it. That might get you in trouble. I'm going to charge up my battery. They say down in the hills, but it's, you know, battery. I'm going to charge my batteries. I better charge my cell phone tonight or I can't. Another way to use the word. And now your mind's working a little bit and you can think of all the uses. But he uses the word here, I charge thee. It's a personal thing. It's to a man. And it's in reference to everything he just taught. And that's how it's viewed here in the scripture, and not in just one place, but a few places in the Word of God. And demand, that'd be a word, demand, an amount, you might say, a certain amount, as a price from someone for a service rendered or goods supplied. So, okay, what service were rendered? What goods were supplied? The Word of God and lessons on how to handle yourself in doctrinal things. And he charged him with it that he might be accountable for it. It's almost like charging something to your credit card. You get the idea. You got a responsibility hooked to that thing. In other words, you just can't go on Amazon Prime and just start ordering stuff. That bill's coming home. It's coming back. And don't be like me, give your credit card to one of your kids. I'm talking adult kids. Oh, Dad, I used your credit card the other day. I said, yeah, and what for? Oh, couple hundred dollars. Ouch. My wife said, a good idea for us is cancel that credit card and get a new number so nobody's got our number. I said, I got it. But charge, and so it's a good word. It's a word with impact. It's a word, if you charge somebody with something, a police officer might charge you with speeding. So you know what it is. or he was charged with, you see how it goes. But here he's charged for service of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can handle that. And the therefore, as I said, it's used in its sense as an adverb. And I know all this because I look it up. I've always liked words. I was never good with words, but I like words and why they mean what they mean. Adverb, therefore. In other words, the definition, for that reason, or consequently, in respect to what we just went. So because of all that has been said in the last three chapters, a charge is laid upon Timothy to minister according to what he has been taught. Now, it's not uncommon for a preacher to bring a charge in a message. I remember years ago when they made Chad Barrows a deacon here in the church, and Pastor Tom said, would you bring the charge? And I preached it. I didn't know Chad very well. I knew his father. I'd held revivals for his father years ago. And Chad was just a little guy then. But I preached that charge, and I just preached a message along the lines of the responsibilities of a deacon. And you say, what was that? That was a charge. It's not uncommon when you see somebody ordained. Here, deacons are appointed and set aside, but it's not uncommon to charge them, as here, with the Word of God. And then when somebody surrenders to preach and they're ready to enter a phase of the ministry where they're busy with what God has called them to do, in other words, they're preaching, we ordain Samuel Giard. And you say, what happened? Well, we knew what he believed. We knew, number one, he was saved. Number two, we knew what he believed, took a stand. He's adjoining himself with a fundamental independent Baptist church that stands on the 1611 Word of God. So there was a charge preached. You say, what was that? Well, it's a responsibility laid for all the things, the consequential things that we knew he stood for and believed. And it's kind of like, this is our man. This is what he does. And we preach the charge. So it's not unusual. When Jeremiah was ordained, there was a charge preached. I think Brother Bruce McDowell might have preached that. And it's not unusual. I've preached many a charge. John Niehaus, pastor of Hope Baptist Church, Mount Hope Baptist Church in Miami Town, Ohio, Harrison, Ohio. I preached John Niehaus's charge. And over the years, I've preached many charges. Pastors probably preach many charges. Say, what is that? Well, it's in the Word of God. I charge thee therefore before God. It's like the older men in the Lord handing the responsibilities of the doctrines of the Word of God to that young man to execute those things. That's what it is. So do they always do it? No. Have you always done it? No. I had a charge preached to me when I was ordained. Jim Tarkington, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, preached my charge. And then there were three men there, Bruce McDowell, Jim Tarkington, and Bill Bailey. And Bill Bailey was a man going to the mission field. He went to Greece for years, and now he's pastoring in the state of Idaho or somewhere up in there, and he's back home from Greece. But he was one of the men that was on my ordination. So the charge goes along with responsibilities, in this case with doctrine. So many times the pastor does not pastor. That's what I wanted to say. Even if he's charged, still don't step up. Many times the deacon doesn't deek. He's been charged, but he doesn't step up. You say, oh my goodness, what do? Run the pastor off? No, I'd say pray for him. Say, why? Well, he's God's man. Well, what if the deek don't deek? Pray for him. If you'll save a lot of face if you don't ask them to leave, amen? And probably won't split the church, amen? But there's a lot of times that people don't step up to the responsibilities of the doctrines of the Word of God. Sometimes the teachers that teach don't teach. I'd be in that capacity this morning as a teacher, but I want to be a teacher that teaches. Sometimes an evangelist doesn't go. He's an evangelist, but he said, I've gone all my life. Just this year, just a few weeks ago, we sold the RV. It's gone. 14 years I traveled in that RV, and before that RV, I had another RV that we traveled in. We've traveled many years, many miles, preached many meetings, And I realized at 70 years old, and my wife always went with me, kids always went, we're coming to the point where we can't go. Doesn't mean the fire doesn't still burn, but there's plenty to do here. So sometimes the evangelist doesn't go and the charge is not applied, but it should be applied. If you're a preacher, you ought to preach. If you're a deacon, you ought to deacon. If you're a pastor, you ought to pastor. If you're an evangelist, you ought to evangelize. Amen. That's the responsibility laid on our shoulders. So this, my friend, is what is wrong with a lot of churches today out across the land as I see it. Leadership is not what the Bible, they're not living up to what the Bible says. They'll be in position by word only, not by responsibility. So this charge. So it's a sad time. So verse 1, who shall judge the quick and the dead? It is appearing in his kingdom. And he goes on, and notice it's all in the same thought. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he makes further comment as to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like the Apostle Paul. He's always going to use the title, the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say the man upstairs. You're never going to find that in the Bible. That's a modern day slang term thrown out there that's almost sacrilegious. So he says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? There's a lot right here. Number one, I want you to see judge. Judge. Yeah, that's a scary word. Nobody likes to go before a judge. Anybody here ever been before a judge? Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. No, I don't either. And I've been with people that had to go before a judge, and I was there for moral support because they were scared to death. You say, why? The judge, man. When the judge gets done with you, especially if you're guilty, you're in trouble. And you better have a good defense if you're not guilty, so on and so forth. So judge, or there will be a judgment. So that's the verse here, who shall judge. And so we know this from other scriptures, especially the writings of Paul. And I won't wade into the Old Testament with all the times the word judge, judgment, and those things come up. But there is an indication throughout the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation that our God is a judging God. Because he's holy, he's righteous, he's just. So he's a God of judgment. Paul said this in Romans 2:16, a very good verse for us to pay attention to as saved people in the church today. He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And that has to do with saved people and a judgment that's coming. And you say, you mean it's just not all a bed of roses? Once I get saved, I'm good. I'm footloose and fancy free. I'm saved now. I got my fire insurance paid. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. I can just live it up and do what I want to do. Well, no. Short answer, no. Got to live for God. Amen. You can't keep living like you used to, going the places you used to go, doing the same old things you used to do. You just can't do that. You say, why? You're going to be judged. And I find out that the sin that a saved person sins down here gets judged down here. Like a son, he says, who is chastened of his father. And he's talking about sons of God, people that are saved, and you walk a little out of line for the Lord, and you know you're walking out of line, and God takes it up with you. And brother, something happens. I like what pastor says. Yeah, my refrigerator quit last week. And you think about that. Man, what did I do wrong? My car blew up the other day. What have I done? Sometimes you didn't do anything. But then again, if you know and God puts his finger on that specific thing, might be a little judgment down here that God's kind of a wake-up call. Hey, you belong to me, and I'm going to chasten every son whom I loveth. And if I don't chasten you, you know it's the only time this word's found in the Bible. You are bastards,
and not sons. In other words, you're an illegitimate child. You're not a child of God. You may claim to be a child of God, but if you can just skip through footloose and fancy free and nothing ever happens and you don't ever worry about anything and you can still drink and cavort and carry on, even with the knowledge of the Word of God, having known that, then my friend, listen, maybe you don't belong to God. But here, God judges. So in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, and I think judgment for our sins down here was paid at Calvary, and that, be careful with that sin. That is the sin, and I don't like this term, but I'm going to use it this morning, the mother sin. You say, what's the mother sin? The mother sin is the sin of Adam and Eve, where the Spirit of God left them, and it left them a body, soul, and a spirit of man in with the absence of the Spirit of God, who is light, who is wisdom, who is knowledge, who is holy. And so a man altogether in his best state is altogether vanity. He's in darkness, and the Bible calls him lost. You say, well, he's alive, he's breathing air. That's the sin you get when you're born into this earth, into this world. You're born of a sinful nature. You say, why? Absence of God. He's not there. He's not in you. You say, you're a son of Adam. You're not a son of God. Now, you need to be a son of God so that original sin or the sin of Adam or the sin of man that's past, everybody has to deal with that sin somewhere in their life. See, people get the idea, well, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Yeah, I know you are. So am I. So was Paul. He said he's the chiefest of sinners. But don't confuse all the rottenness that you've done and you've thought and you've cooked up yourself with what's really wrong with you. And that's no God in you. You see, when you're a man's born in this world, a woman's born in this world, they're born with no God in them. So they have the propensity as they grow up and mature to do all the wrong things. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fornicate. Should I go on? That's Galatians chapter 5. You want that whole catalog of sins. That's that mess people get involved with. You say, what is that? That's just human mankind. They want to think dirty, talk dirty, be dirty. Say, why? Because they are dirty. Say, what do they need? Born again. So don't confuse how bad you are with how bad off you are. Does that make sense? You say, man, I'm the baddest thing ever walked the face of the earth. I've drank it, I've said it, I've spilled it, I've killed. Look, I don't care how bad you are. God don't care how bad you are. He cares about how bad off you are because you're without Christ and you need to be saved. And so once you get saved, you will reflect upon your life, especially if you get saved as an adult of any time at all, and you've lived, let's say you've lived 20 or 30 years as a lost person, and there'll be some things that you've done that you're not real proud of. There may be some things you've done after you got saved you're not proud of. I'll guarantee there are. I got saved at 12 years old, and I ain't telling you all the stuff I've done. Amen. So here, judgment happens to the child of God, and I'm going to make a difference here. In the day that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel is probably a reference to the judgment seat of Christ, which is mentioned in the book of Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which it speaks of, some writers call it the bema seat, which is not a scriptural term. It's like the word rapture. But we call it the judgment seat of Christ because that's scriptural. And that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a judgment not for our sin, which I believe is dealt with down here in your everyday life as a child of God, but for your works, what you do for Christ once you get saved. Think about it this way. When you get saved, from that point forward, everything that you do is some kind of a work, either for yourself, for someone else, or for Christ Jesus. That's why the Lord said this to a saved man, that those that work, let them do it as unto the Lord, So if you're a carpenter, I'd say carpenter like Jesus was a carpenter. If you're a plasterer, plaster like it was the Lord's business. You say, why? Because everything you do and touch has a motive behind it. And now as a child of God, you have a responsibility, if you please, a charge laid upon you to conduct yourself as a Christian with good works. So every work that you have, say, well, I got to do some stuff out here I'm not really proud of, but I got to go get it done. That work will burn. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is about. Because you have a lot of responsibility laid upon you as a Christian to do good works. And everything you do is a work. So if you spend most of your Christian life working for yourself, working for the man, you name it, skinning mules, I don't know. How much of that was for God? Say, none of it. That work, all that energy you put into that thing, you'll see it go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, oh, but that stuff, that sin, probably be judged down here if you're a child of God. Now, I'm going to step off out of the child of God realm in just a minute, but our text is child of God. But let's say you got saved and you tried to serve God every day of your life, every day of your life, every day of your life, and you kept a conscience about when you wasn't serving God, and you confessed that thing and you got that thing right and you went on. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be looking a whole lot better than the guy that was saved or the gal that was saved that thumbed their nose at God and went and done what they wanted to do. Oh, brother. Yeah, because people that's doing what they want to do, the energy of the flesh and all that other stuff, that stuff's going to burn, man. Didn't help nobody. Motive was wrong. You see what I'm saying? Judgment. And Christ is our judge, and that's what the scriptures, but I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Now, I'm dealing with the quick right now. Say, what's quick and dead? Well, in a nutshell, quick save, folks. And the dead are those people that never got saved. We'll deal with that in a minute. So here, that verse in Romans 2:16 I've been quoting. There's another one in Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? So we get all hung up in this judging thing. And that's a question. And it's a good question. Watch. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? A lot of that goes on today in Christian circles, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So be careful. When you're pulling the hammer down on somebody else, Paul gets a little reminder there, you're going to stand before God and give an account of your actions too and your work. You say, oh man, yeah, that's not good. People say, oh, we're not supposed to judge. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Yeah, but the understanding of that verse is judge ye not, lest ye be judged. If you don't mind being judged, or if you can comprehend the fact that you're going to be judged, then you might have to make some judgments, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I won't have to go there. And he goes through judging the things in your own congregation, deciding who's doing right, who's doing wrong. If there's problems, sometimes you got to deal with it, so on and so forth. But Peter says this, and I'll move on. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, at verse 4 down through verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, 4 through 7. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them by the same access of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, a Christian separates themselves from the world and doesn't want to do the things of the world. They're riotous living here. Who shall give an account of him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? So that terminology shows up again in the scripture, quick and the dead. Quick being saved folks and dead being lost folks, and I'll deal with that in a minute. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead. Say, when was the gospel preached to them that were dead? Well, number one, if it's preached today to lost people, those are dead people. Now, if it's dead like you died and you were buried and you're someplace, it was also preached to those that were captive down there in Abraham's bosom, because they were on the hell side and the paradise side, and they got the gospel preached to them. You say, how do you know? When Jesus showed up, he is the good news. Amen. I said, did any of them get saved? No, the message there was unto judgment. You say, why? They had a chance. And the line seems to be drawn on death. If you live your life and die, you don't get no more chances. So you get your chances this side of eternity. That's crazy, isn't it? But that's how it works. He says, preach the gospel also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Now, anybody that's ever gotten saved and heard the gospel was preached to you a dead man, and that means dead spiritually. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So there's always a warning that goes along with the Christian walk. Watch how you walk. Watch what you say. Watch how you judge things. So at the judgment seat of Christ, our works are judged, as I'd said. I probably ought to clarify that. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this is not actually in the notes so much, but let me go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to see this to the child of God. And he'll judge the quick. The quick, I'm dealing with saved folks right now. Quick, and let me give you the reference on that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and ye who were dead in trespasses and sins, he quickened. Say, what is that? Made alive. But look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, Jeremiah's been on a series on Wednesday night on pulling down strongholds. Very good material. And he's taking a lot of it out of Corinthians here. And it deals with us. It speaks to us as how to live the practical everyday Christian life. Watch. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And that's an ever-going problem anytime you have people and you minister. That's ministry. That's people that can't bear some of the harder things in the Word of God. So the teacher has to be careful. Although he has to speak the truth and he has to speak it in compassion, but if you're not careful, you'll have a church full of lions and all the sheep will be gone and then the lions will be eating each other. So watch out now. For ye are yet carnal. We're all carnal, but some are more carnal than others. Amen. I strive not to be carnal, but I assure you I'm carnal. Ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strife, divisions. Doesn't everybody fight that every once in a while? He says, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Yeah, that's us, man. We kind of act like we do before we got saved. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, and ye are not carnal. And what that is I just don't like to hear him teach. I don't like to hear him preach. I'd rather hear Brother Tom preach. I would too. Or Jeremiah. I'd rather hear him preach than Pastor Tom. You say, what is it? That's carnality. That shows you where you're at with the Lord. Watch. For he says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? By the way, and we've said this all the time, it's not about the mailman. It's about the message he brings. But people get hung up on personalities and character traits and character flaws, and they say, well, I don't like the way he says that. And he just comes across wrong, and I'm not going to show up when he's there. Preacher says, well, I'm going to have this guy in to preach. I ain't coming to that. I don't like to hear that guy preach. Say, what is that? It's a carnal Christian. Watch. So Paul or Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, and that's how it works. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now be mindful of this, because we're talking about judging the quick. And we said the quick are the saved folks, or like we're people that are saved today. There's a judgment for us. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Watch verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. In other words, we got to work together. So don't get hung up on personalities and characters. And you're supposed to have forbearance one for another. You're supposed to have love one for another. But yet, in every church you go to, there'll be somebody in that church that just can't walk across the church and say, "Hey, how are you today?" and shake hands. Because there's a disdainment, a carnality there, a division there, a strife there. Say, what is that? Well, that's why we keep teaching and keep preaching. Folks need to get right. They need to, what do we say? Bury the hatchet. Watch. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So every man has to judge himself and be accountable of the charge that's laid to him, as our text said. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's works, talking about the quick now, the saved people, every man's works, and not his sin, because the sin was paid for at Calvary, and if you should sin this side of dying, I believe you'll deal with that down here, and you'll suffer for your sin down here. Although Christ has paid for it, and the only way around that thing is to confess it to God and say, "God, I just sinned. I need your help," and God is gracious and merciful, can forgive you that. But man, if you don't confess that thing will eat your lunch, and God will finally discipline you for that. Say, what do you mean? Well, that's what did Paul say? There are many sickly among you, and many die. You say, what happened? Well, they were mistaking the Lord's Supper. They hadn't got that thing right, and it was making them sick. Say, so what are you saying? I said, unchecked sin in the saved person's life could make you sick. Amen. You could have an automobile accident. You could have cancer. I'm just saying, think about that stuff. You got a lot of responsibility laid upon you now that you're saved. Paul says, I charge thee, therefore, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Charge laid to you. Watch. Every man's works shall be made manifest. In other words, we're going to bring it to light. The Lord says, your works, not your sin now. Saved person, your mother's sin, I hate that term, is paid for at Calvary. Your everyday sin is checked by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and your confession for that thing as you walk in the Lord. But if you don't check that thing, you say, well, I just made a mistake. You keep saying that long enough, God will chasten you. Your son or your daughter starts lying to you, and you finally say, look, you're going to have to quit lying to me. Oh, I'm not lying to you, Mommy. I'm not lying to you, Daddy. I just made a mistake. And you let that thing go and let that thing go. Why, you'll have a child that can tell the biggest whopper on the face of the earth. But no, you'll be just like the Lord. You'll take it up with them because you don't want them to grow up with that character trait. Lying is too easy anyway. Well, they'd be lying to everybody. Say, what do? You discipline. That's how God handles us. Watch. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and that day is reference to the judgment, it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And every time you see a judgment of God, whether it be the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment or the judgment of the nations, you always find fire, literal, spiritual, eternal fire. Watch. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. In other words, everything that you've done since you've been saved is going to be put up there. You say, well, man, I didn't do that for the Lord. It's a work, and you're a child of God, and you have a charge laid upon you to judge between what is good and what is bad. You're doing all this bad stuff, it's going to burn. Watch it. Watch it. He says, of what sort it is, if any man's works abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now that's where your reward comes in, at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, what works are you talking about? That's the good works that was done with the right motives. You serve God, You kept your, you abode in Christ, you walk with Christ, and when you stumbled, you got down and prayed and said, God, forgive me, I want to be a good Christian. I don't want to have strife, I don't want to cause division, I don't want to cause harm, and you live that life day by day. You say, it's a battle. Yeah, that's a battle. Read Romans chapter 7. Because all the things that you would do, those are the things you don't do. And the things you don't do, those are the things you should do. That's basically what Paul says over there. So the Christian life is a battle, but we have to step up. I'm running out of time here. Let me hurry. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So there is loss. You say, what's that loss of? Not of his salvation, but a loss of his reward. That's what he's talking about. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Say, well, I'm saved. I'll get there anyway. Yeah, but it's going to be a sad commentary. Watch it. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So I don't have time to deal with the dead here. I just dealt with the quick. I'll deal with the dead next week, and we'll take you to the great white throne judgment, which is at another time, and it's found in Revelations chapter 21 and 22. I saw so on and so forth, so I'm out of time, so let me quit there. But the charge is that we might live for God and live right for God. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and a chance to open the book and teach from it. And Lord, it's powerful. It charges us. It shows us the great responsibility we have to act like a Christian, live like a Christian, and be like a Christian. Bless now the preaching, the singing, all is done. In Jesus' name, amen.